3. Ecclesiastes 3, and we have already read one portion of it. In our call to worship. And for those of you who are joining us for the first Sunday, we're going to continue our journey through the book of Ecclesiastes. In the first week, we learned that life under the sun, or life in the here and now on this side of heaven, is what they call hevel. A breath, a vapor. The Anson Veenstra translation of that is life is very quick. And can you do that? Very quick. That's life. So many pleasures. The second week, last week, we looked at along the way in our life, there's so many things that try to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ. Pleasures, they call that pleasures to choose from. Influence, wine, mirth, achievement, sex, power. Sounds like everything that is advertised during a Super Bowl commercial. All things that are advertised promise so much. If you have this, if you do that, then you'll be happy. But so many athletes will tell you that after the thrill of victory, a few moments later, they're like, I'm not satisfied. It's kind of what happens when things that are created for God's intended purpose are used differently. Like take an orange, for example. I'm just thinking of this. Like an orange that is great for breakfast time. You try to turn that into baseball, it doesn't work. You don't have that satisfaction of a home run because it's not used for its intended purpose. So the preacher is going to continue to lead us by focusing our attention on the nature of time today. He asks the question, and we're going to start from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 9. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden that God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He also set eternity in the hearts of human, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is, has already been. And whatever will be, before has been seen before. And God will call the past to account. I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring judgment both to the righteous and the wicked, for there will be time for every activity and a time to judge every deed. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them so they may see that they are like animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so the other dies. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals in that way. Everything is hevel, a vapor. All go to the same place, all come from the dust, and to the dust all return. Who knows if the human spirit rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you watched CBS News this week, but there was a very interesting clip there about a truck driver out east named Joe Mackin. He has spent 21 years building a little replica of New York City. He built it all out of balsa wood and Elmer's glue. And it's pretty impressive. One day he just said, I'm going to start whittling a tower in New York. Next day, 20 years that he was doing that, one piece at a time, each piece in the right place. And I think they just recently, he ran out of room. All five boroughs of New York, over 1 million pieces. Can you imagine that? Those of you who work, are crafty people and work with wood, all that. And he had to end up renting a storage unit to get all that there. So each piece has a right place, and then when he put it together, you can kind of see like, wow, there's a 3D representation of New York. Now, that's a brilliant mind and a crafty hand. My mind can't tell my hand to draw, let alone create stuff. So I am both impressed and at the same time, I wonder, what's it like to be his wife? You're whittling all the time. Million, over 20 years, million pieces. It looks good, but there's that other side. That's imagine the joy and satisfaction that comes from that. See, our lives are made of so many individual pieces, moments in time, seasons of our life, events that happen to us. Each piece is put into place to make up the story of our life, and we can't always understand the meaning of this one little piece. Why did this happen in my life? What am I doing now? How does this breath that I'm taking make a difference in the whole scheme of my life? And yet, in a sense, the construction project can't go forward without that little piece being put into place. What joy and satisfaction Joe Mackin has in each piece until it's unveiled. Now, I've only built IKEA furniture, and it took a lot out of me, really. Line up all the different parts, the right sizes, and put it together. In the end, it kind of was sturdy and useful. Well, the difference between Mr. Mack's replication of New York City and real life is that it is God who has the blueprint of our life in his mind and in his hands. He's the architect and builder of our life. At one level, we might imagine that we're building our lives. We have an idea of what we want to be, what we want to do in life, where our interests lie, and we hope that it turns out. Yet there is so much about the shape of our life that is entirely out of our control, is it not? So the preacher in Ecclesiastes takes all the parts of God's construction project out, as it were, and starts laying them down for us. Knowing that God alone is building the life is where he starts. And in fact, that fact should give us hope. And God is in charge of our life. Part of living in this world as people of the book and as followers of Jesus Christ means accepting the fact that we are creatures of time, but God is not. We might have in our hands a tiny part of our life. We're trying to build a life, but we're not the architect nor the site manager. My first heading in the outline that you have is turn, turn, turn. It's all about time. That's a nod to the song made famous by the Birds, most of the lyrics to everything. Turn, turn, turn. There is a season. Turn, turn, turn. And then it's all Ecclesiastes 3. Time to be born. A time to die. The subheading I had is Groundhog Day, because that's a nod to that classic movie. We just had Groundhog's Day this past week, and guess what? We didn't have to live the same day over and over again like Bill Murray did. Well, that's where that movie went. He had to live that same day every day until he got it right. We don't have that convenience. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, says the preacher. And now he's going to flesh that out in verses 2 to 8. What does that mean? And so he starts listing polar opposites. I'm not going to spend a lot of time unpacking them. It's a very interesting study. But he makes a point by skillfully summarizing the seasons of our life under the sun. There are disquieting times in our life, a time to die, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to tear down, a time to weep. There are painful seasons that make up our life and make us despair. And at times, we feel like giving up. I hope you don't feel like giving up, because those are times that can sort of get into our head and magnify. Life is hard. It's difficult. For those who describe the world in these dark colors, he pairs these up with the other side of life, the delightful time and seasons in our life. The time of birth. Remember when your child was born? A time to embrace, a time to plant, a time to seek, a time to heal, a time to keep, a time to build up, to sow, to laugh, to speak, to dance, to love. There's other times in here that it depends on what's happening. Like, there's a time to embrace. But there's also a time to refrain from embracing. And there are other times that are unclear. When do we know when to search? Tragic scene of a woman being abducted from her home this week, and they're searching for her. It's time to search. At what point do we give up and say the search is over? Well, to take in together all of these things, the good, the bad, the in-between times, what the preacher is saying is life is complex. It's full of these times. It's what makes up our life. We know this to be true, right? You've had good moments this week. You've had not so good moments this week. Listen to how Pastor David Gibson, in a book that I highly recommend that you get, he articulates the beautiful complexity of our life this way, where he says, "We dance at weddings and we cry at the funeral of those we danced with. We laugh together and weep for what the people we used to laugh with have done to us. Without thinking, we reach out and touch, but instinctively we respect a different emotional and physical boundary with somebody else. We grow to love some people, and we grow to hate others." It's on page 54 of this wonderful book. These variety of seasons are what make life rich and vibrant and interesting. Think about the times in our life. My times have been marked by seasons of life, but also roles that I've played. The time I was a son. The time I was a brother, a husband, a lover, then a father, and now a paca, a grandpa, for those of you who don't know. It's a beautiful time, those seasons. I think the preacher's point is this. The seasons of our life, wherever you find yourself right now, it's a gift from God. I know. You don't want to think of it as a gift from God if you're going through difficult times. But hang in there with me. We have no control over any of these seasons. All we can do is to plan our lives and live according to our interests and how God has wired us together and try to live wisely in light of the season that we're in. As part of the wisdom tradition of Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes, that tradition, he's calling us to understand, figure out what time it is. Wise people, like a wise farmer, know when it's time to plant, when it's time to cultivate, when it's time to harvest, when it's time to fix the machinery so that you can do it all over again. You can't just schedule our seasons. I try to imagine, like, okay, let's now plan our lives, and okay, this is, let's plan for 2 o'clock this afternoon is going to be a time to laugh. So now we're going to go and laugh. Or you say, I'm going to call the Center for Inconvenient Illnesses and say, I want to have you come 2 weeks. It doesn't work that way, does it? We cannot plan our lives that way. Real life is not like that. We ask with the preacher at times, what have we gained after living all the seasons of our life? And really the answer is self-explanatory, nothing. Nothing at the end of this all, you're dead. Isn't that a cheery word? Why are we doing this? Now, when we say that, we have to understand the hope and the message that we have as followers of Christ. This is not a like, oh, well, it doesn't matter how you live your life, kind of a, they call that nihilism, you know, like eat and drink because tomorrow we're going to die. That's not what we're saying here. What's the point of going to work? We got to go buy food so we can eat, so that we can stay alive, so that we can work and get more money to buy food. Turn, turn, turn. And unlike Groundhog's Day, we only have one shot here at life. Now he's going to add in saying, like, it's better to take a divine point of view from it. It's like looking at Steve Mackin's 3D picture and saying, that really is New York City, or flying over New York City and seeing the whole thing sprawled out and seeing it all. A divine perspective, and this is going to be important to remember for the rest of this book, because the teacher is looking at life under the sun and sees God who's in charge of all the seasons of our life. In chapters 3, what we had just read in our text notes that there's a burden that God has laid on humanity alone. Only humans have this kind of a unique burden. In the very next verse, he starts talking about God has made everything beautiful in its time, but then throws in that Hebrew word olam, which means everlasting, eternal. You see, we are creatures of time, and God is not. The eternal God has placed eternity not up there. It's not something that's going to happen in the future, but right smack dab in the middle of human hearts. That's what John Calvin calls there's a sense of divine that we have. We have an inkling of something more, is it not? Would you not agree? C.S. Lewis says, we hear echoes from a far country, something that's so familiar to us. Every now and then we catch a sound of a few notes, a tune from a song that is sung, and we say, I almost recognize that song, but we've never heard it in its entirety. And yet we have a feeling that one day we're going to hear this whole song and play. It's going to be played from beginning to end, and we're going to recognize that melody. This is what that is for. This is that moment of laughter that I experienced. This is that delight that I had in life. This is that longing in my heart when I'm holding my earthly treasure in my hand and realize that, no, this is pointing me to something else. A time to be born, a time to die. The best way to learn how to live by preparing to die is realizing that death means judgment. Our eternal God has set a time for judgment. And this is a good thing. We should not fear it. I don't know about you, but there may be things that you have done in your life. Have you had this? Are there things that you have done that are you're just it's going to go to your grave, right? Do I see some nods there, or am I the only one? If you knew what I have done, see, nobody's going to know. Well, what a false concept that is, because there is somebody that knows everything that we're thinking right now. God is eternal. And now, what do we do? Well, God is a good, good Father, we sang. And we can trust good fathers. On the one hand, we have a timeless God. He's perfectly just. He's righteous. He's good. Everything that the Scripture says about Him, we need to own. And we are time-bound creatures. I'll say that again. We're fascinated with movies like Back to the Future and Interstellar and movies and series about space travel and time travel, if it's possible. And yet you realize that we need to call up photographs. You ever had an old photograph that you looked and you said, oh, I remember. What's that person's name again? Oh, yeah, and we need that. Part of living under this sun is that I have to accept the fact that I need to see things from God's perspective. He sees the whole thing. And in His kindness, mercy, the story of my life is unfolding exactly as He had planned. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? We think, no, I'm choosing how to live my life. And I can't understand all of my life. Have you ever taken pieces from your past? Like, why did this happen to me as a boy? Why did these events happen? And now I have had this. I was going to do that, but I can't see exactly where I'm going. And it's like holding threads on the backside of a tapestry. Those of you who do the needlework, and you kind of understand the backside of that sometimes doesn't always look so great. But the front side is a beautiful picture, and that's what God sees. He's weaving the stories of our life together in a beautiful way, and it's going to come out exactly as He planned. That, I find, is comforting. Take comfort in that. The preacher says, you know, there are things that cause pain in the world. And if you look at verse 16, he says, in the place of justice, there is judgment. There is wickedness. In the place of righteousness, there is wickedness. See, we love justice. We're hardwired to want justice. We want things to be right in the world. We want the courts to get it right, don't we? If they don't, the very order of creation seems to break down. If they don't get it right, if killers get off scot-free, then there's no word for the anger and the rage that cries out from the heart of those who want justice. The world is not meant to be lived like that, we cry out. Will we ever see justice, we lament? And the answer is a resounding yes. Behold our God, seated on the throne, the righteous judge. He will make all things new. All that is wrong will be right one day. He will go back in time and retrieve every single injustice, every single deed that broke His holy law and tarnished His beautiful world, damaged His image bearers. He sees that every tear, every sighing of my heart for the things that I have done wrong and how I can't seem to get it right again and again. He sees that. He's a God of perfect mercy and truth. It's comforting and challenging. Owning the fact that God is the architect of our life is the biggest challenge that we will face in our life, because it goes against the grain of our human nature. I want to be God. I want to determine my life. But no, believing that everything in every season of life comes not by chance, but from His fatherly hand. That is so very difficult for us, many builders, many gods that we pretend to be. It's a challenge, but by His grace, we can trust in the words of the catechism that He'll provide for whatever we need for body and soul right here and right now. Be patient. Hang in there if you're going through a season of turmoil in your life. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. God's got this. And if you're celebrating life and enjoy it, hey, enjoy that. But don't forget God in the midst of that too. It doesn't mean that the season is going to be easy when it comes, but it may encourage us in the season that we're in right now. One day, Joe Mackin's creation, his 3D representation, mini model of New York City, is going to be gone. And one day, New York City itself will be gone. It's only God that knows exactly how to build our lives and where each piece fits. What difference does it make? I want to invite you to look at Lord's Day, question and answer 10 with me. Lord's Day 10, in the back of your books. We're going to conclude with this. It's a beautiful reminder that God is in control. He is the God of providence. The providence of God is at every detail of our life. It says, leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful years and lean, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from His fatherly hands. Hallelujah. Right? Then how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Would you say this with me? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from His love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will, they can never move or be moved. Ponder this. Know this. Believe this. Relish this. Enjoy the gift that God has given you. Rejoice. Do good. Eat your bread. Drink your wine. God in His sovereignty places everything in the right with His perfect and unerring eye. That should give us confidence. Remember His judgments, and let's enjoy the work that He has given us to do. And then, as brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we remind ourselves that Jesus Christ has made this all possible. And that's what we're going to reaffirm as we go to the table. So let's sit down and graciously enjoy the meal that He has given to us. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the gift of this day, for the gift of this life. Thank you for the times and seasons that you have placed in our life. Some of us right now, even this moment, are going through one of those times, beautiful times, times in which we celebrate and enjoy life. Help us not to forget you during those times, but to be able to thank you with every breath. And difficult times, thank you for them, for the reminders that we are not in control, that we need you. And if we didn't have those times, Lord, we'd go on doing our works, creating things, and pretending we don't need you. So whatever season we find ourselves in, Lord, help us to look to you and to depend on you alone. Hear our prayer, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We are creatures of time. We live in the here and now, but through the years,